There's a great story from the life of the young Teresa of Avila. When she was a little girl, so a future saint, she was maybe 8 or 10 years old. She had decided to run away from home to go to the land of the Moors, the land of the Muslims, in order to preach the gospel. And she convinces her little brother, who's 2 years younger, so he's 6 or 8 years old, to come along with her. So here they set off. And she wanted to go because she thought, if I preach the gospel there, I will be sure to be martyred. So she's on her way out of the town of Avila, and here comes one of her uncles coming in from the field, and he sees her and says, you know, what are you doing? So he scoops him up in his arms, brings him back home, and she shares the story with her mom. Mom, yeah, I was heading out. She says, honey, what are you thinking? Why would you do such a thing? And she said, Mom, I went because I want to see the face of God, but we can't see him unless we die. A little girl, a future saint in the making, with this longing to see the face of God, which is a longing for heaven. My brothers and sisters, why did the Magi travel from distant nations to come to the little town of Bethlehem? At its deepest root, it was the desire to see the face of God in human flesh. Though they wouldn't have said that in those terms. They would have said, you know, a king is being born. And there's something very special about him because there are signs in nature, signs in the heavens. He may even be divine. But it is God manifesting in and through their hearts this desire to seek his face. And my brothers and sisters, whether we realize it or not, it is one of the deepest human longings. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, Father, I never think of seeing God. Right? That's not something that's part of my conscience. Yet, because we need to reclaim it. Because there are so many conflicting and contradictory desires within us all day long. Because we're broken by sin, and because we have sin, we don't even realize that it's there. And so a buddy of mine in the seminary, and somebody one time asked me, they said, Father, when you talk about seminarians who inspire you, are you talking about one guy? I'm talking about somewhere between 5 and 10, so you don't think it's the same guy and he's just this really extraordinary man. So this one seminarian, he shared with me on one occasion, he said, I always keep a little rosary ring in my pocket. And he says, I keep it there for down times. When I'm walking to school, maybe if class is really boring. And he says, I just put my hand in my pocket, and I just say, I repeat the words of one of the Psalms. And I say, it is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face. And he says, I go around the ring of the rosary, I just say that over and over. It is your face, O Lord, that I seek. And when I heard that, I thought, gosh, that's awesome, right? I'm going to start doing that myself. So, and I still try to do that when I think of it. But whenever, you know, all day long, we have desires surge up within us. And normally it's oftentimes right at the start of the day when our minds are most fresh. I can't tell you how often, you know, I'm getting ready for the day. And all of a sudden I'm just thinking, man, I would love a bacon cheeseburger for lunch today, right? Or, you know, a steak dinner would be so nice. And when I'm conscious of that, I go, okay, Lord, that's not going to bring me true happiness, right? And so I replace that desire with the desire to see him. And I say, it is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face. I want you to be my heart's first desire. My brothers and sisters, how many people have seen the face of God? Literally seen the face of God. Only the saints and the angels. No one in the history of the world has ever seen God's face unveiled because it would be impossible to do so and go on living. Lucifer and all the fallen angels have never seen God's face. If they had, they could not have rejected him because they can't see that which is all beautiful and resist it. They would have given themselves entirely to him, but they chose themselves instead. Adam and Eve did not see God's face. Even though they had this intimate relationship with him in the garden, it says they heard him moving through the garden. But we know they didn't see him because they could not have fallen. Even Moses, you know, what does it say about Moses in the Bible when he would talk to God? It says it was as if it was face to face. And even just that intimacy, even though he didn't see him, he was transformed. His face became so radiant that he had to cover it in front of other people. The greatest saints They say at the heights of the spiritual life, what takes place, even now in human flesh, is that there is a vision of the Holy Trinity that God gives to bring them to the summits of the spiritual life. But even that vision, it's just a representation of God. It's not God Himself. The vision of God is heaven. Because what happens when we will see God? This summer, my family, we went to Hawaii together. My mom, her parents passed away in the last few years, and she received a portion of the inheritance split up among her 10 siblings. And so with her share, she thought, I want to do something special with my family. And so we went on a trip. She paid for the kids and the grandkids to go to Hawaii together, and we were there for a week. And I remember when we were trying to set up what to do while we're there, somebody, actually a parishioner, contacts me and says, Father, hey, you're going to the island of Kauai. You've got to go to the top of the highest volcano there. There is the most extraordinary view of the sunrise. You get up, and when you get to the top, you're above the cloud line. It's so amazing. I've never seen anything more beautiful. My brothers and sisters, when we see something extraordinarily beautiful, what do? We're captivated. We go, oh my gosh, right? A sunset, a sunrise, a beautiful person. You know, sometimes you see someone, you go, man, I can't stop looking at him. I can't stop looking at her. She's so beautiful. A beautiful work of art. What if you combined every beautiful sunrise and sunset and work of art and every single beautiful person who has ever lived into one, and then multiplied that by infinity? That would be a glimpse of what God's beauty is like. And so what's it going to be like when we see Him? We will never want to take our eyes off Him. To see Him is heaven. It's the fulfillment of the deepest longings of our heart. To know peace and joy and love and mercy, you name it. And so what did God do in His mercy? He sent His Son to the earth. And even though we could not see our Lord's glory, that it was still veiled in His human flesh, we were able to see Him to a certain degree, and enough to know that this is what God is truly like. Up until then, people had ideas of what the King of the universe resembled, but they did not know for sure until He took flesh. We did not know that He was really all love, and all mercy, and all compassion, and all tenderness, and so He revealed Himself that the choice would be so much easier. And so this journey that the wise men made is the journey, it represents the journey of our entire lives. Do we really have that longing? Does it arise in our heart, I want to see Him one day, and to see Him once for all eternity, right? A day that will never end. I close with this. If we want to, we have to enkindle that desire over and over, and I give three easy ways in which we can do that. The first, every time we receive Him, it satiates our desire for Him to a certain degree, but the more we receive Him, the more we desire to receive Him. The more often a person can receive Holy Communion, the greater that longing will be to one day see Him face to face. Secondly, just simply making time for prayer, time alone with Him. And above all, I would say, if you are able to spend time in Eucharistic adoration, when the Blessed Sacrament is exposed in the monstrance, whether we realize it or not, when we go before Him and can see Him, even for just a moment, even veiled under the Eucharist, within the Eucharist, what happens when you kneel before Him in that way? You can see Him, and yet He's hidden, and His hiddenness makes you long to see Him all the more. The more people spend time before our Lord in adoration, the greater their longing for heaven. And I really believe when every member of this parish spends at least 1 hour a week alone with our Lord in the Eucharist, this parish will finally be able to accomplish all that God desires from it. Because every person will be filled with a longing for heaven, and a longing that will constantly increase. Lastly, when the Magi came, where did they find our Lord? St. Matthew makes sure to include this so that every disciple of Christ will know until the end of time, where is our Lord found for those who seek him? It says they found him in the arms of Mary, his mother. And we will always find him there. There is no one who looked upon Jesus more than our Blessed Mother Mary. St. John Paul II said, when we pray the rosary, it's like we're at Our Lady's school and she teaches us how to contemplate the beauty of her son's face. The closer we draw to Our Lady, the greater our desire for heaven.